It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Quitting time on your Monday, 5 o'clock. You're on Fan Run Radio. Russell Bear Trek cruise along with you. Top 5 at 5 brought to you by FanDuel. Bear, hit it.
Number one, the story that has rocked Knoxville to its core this afternoon, the Tennessee Volunteers basketball team has paused all activities, and head coach Rick Barnes has tested positive for COVID-19.
Yeah, it's big deal, man, and there's so much enthusiasm. This town needs basketball right now, and with everything that's gone wrong with football and kind of a hopeless feeling for Tennessee football fans, basketball was, it was an escape. It was
the reason people were getting up in the morning here in Knoxville.
Well, I don't know about that, but I mean, it was something to look forward to for certain. And now that's been taken away, at least in the short term. And first of all, again, we just wish Coach Barnes the very best, and hopefully he's and his staff are healthy and fine and ready to go. But this is going to be a big deal, as far as it sounds like, you know, these two games are definitely off, and the Gonzaga game next week is in major jeopardy right now. So when will Tennessee's basketball season begin? We don't know right now. Stay tuned to find out.
I mean, it's not just us. All right, number two, Auburn star freshman Sharif Cooper apparently hasn't practiced in recent weeks for the Auburn Tigers while he waits the findings of an NCAA investigation into his eligibility, sources have told ESPN. Cooper's representatives are contacting professional
representatives
in Europe and Australia in case the NCAA does not clear him to play this season, sources told ESPN as well.
The fact that he has representatives might be some indication as to why.
In touch
his
with
eligibility
professional
is,
basketball leagues all over the world, yeah.
Man, I did see a highlight tape of that kid yesterday. Insane talent.
Oh, yeah.
Great
He'll
player.
He'll be in the NBA sooner rather than later, but things not going too well down there on the plains for one Buck Pearl. It's all coming down around his head.
We'll see. I don't know about that. We'll see.
All right.
He's a survivor, if nothing else.
Clemson's Dabo Swinney. Did you see this? You know, the Clemson-Florida State game got canceled Saturday morning. The team and Clemson had were getting ready to, I guess they'd come down for breakfast and getting ready to head to the game. Dabo Swinney today has came out and ripped Florida State. Says the administration forfeited the game and used COVID-19 as an excuse. Here's this quote. If the standard was to play with zero positive tests, then we would have never had a season. This game was not canceled because of COVID. COVID was just an excuse to cancel the game, to be honest with you. I don't think it has anything to do with their players. I have no doubt that their players wanted to play and would have played. Same with the coaches. To me, this Florida State administration forfeited the game.
Dabo Swinney is a perfect example of why we shouldn't deify college football coaches. This is not an intelligent man, ladies and gentlemen. Jeremy Pruitt, not an intelligent man. Hugh Freeze, obviously, has major decision-making issues in his life. Do you honestly think that Nick Saban can hold some kind of coherent conversation with you on anything other than American tackle football?
No.
These guys,
he's a Hilljack from West Virginia.
These guys are wealthy gym teachers, is all they are. And Dabo Swinney was way out of line. And even if there's a hint of truth, even if there is a thought with the Florida State people that, you know, they're somehow getting out of an ass whooping the other day, you don't say that, man. You don't say – you're Dabo Swinney with two national championships. You keep your mouth shut. You go home. You wish them well. You say, we're just trying to get healthy so we can play football. And you don't run your mouth about it. It's just dumb.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even see Pruitt doing something like – I mean, Pruitt's not a very good coach. We all know that. Head coach.
No, but he's played the COVID thing with his comments about it and going back to the summer with the Black Lives Matter stuff. Like, he's been – he said what he –
Dabo's always trying to stick his foot as far down his throat as he can.
Yeah, Pruitt, I will give him credit for that. He says what he has to say. Now, he's starting to get a little testy, as we saw after the ball game Saturday. But, again, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Do you win or not? Dabo wins so he can – say whatever he wants, and people like us will call him on it, but it doesn't amount to anything at the end of the day. Jeremy Pruitt's going to get fired at the end of the year or at the end of next year, depending on how UT decides to play it, and it will have nothing to do with anything he's ever said in front of a microphone. It'll have to do with the fact that he can't beat anybody.
Yeah, he's just not very good at his job. Number four, there were some fireworks before yesterday's Titans-Ravens game. Surprised we hadn't talked about this yet. Is Ravens head coach John Harbaugh squared off with, got into a verbal altercation with Titans cornerback Malcolm Butler.
Yeah, there
was kind of a surprise.
Well, there was
Malcolm Butler's crazy, but I mean,
it was a little testy.
If you want to get up in one of the Harbaugh boys' face, I mean, they'll throw. The Harbaughs are crazy.
Yeah, so there was – the Titans were jumping up and down on their shield, the midfield logo, before the game. And Harbaugh and Vrabel exchanged words. And then, I don't know if you saw – it was a chippy game the whole time, trash talking and all that stuff. And then afterwards, did you see the post-game handshake?
That was part of the next part of this. Is
it's brief.
They both came out and said today that they – you know, respect the hell out of each other. And
oh, yeah, they're football guys.
So they have,
they're meatheads.
You know, they shook hands and everything. Malcolm Butler taking his life into his own hands. The Harbaughs are insane, dude. I don't know if I'd want to mess with those guys. So, and finally, number five, Russell. Kind of disappointed. Our Monday night game, Buccaneers hosting the Los Angeles Rams. They're the Buccaneers are 4.5-point favorite, according to FanDuel.
I need Tom Brady and Robert Woods to go for about 60 points tonight combined, between the two of them, so that I can defeat Mark Nagy in fantasy football.
Now, you need what? Because I'm going to root for Nagy.
Are you done?
Well, sure, I guess. You're going to be abrupt like that, yeah. I'll go ahead and finish up here.
Thank you. Top 5 at 5 brought to you by FanDuel.
Yeah. FanDuel Sportsbook. It's now legal in Tennessee. You can place your first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free. Get up to $1,000 back if you don't win. Seriously, there's no strings attached. Just place any bet you want. If you win, you keep the cash. If you lose, you'll get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in bonus site credit. So you can take another shot at the end zone on the house. And with FanDuel Sportsbook, generous risk-free bets are just the beginning. They've got a simple app, live betting on every game, and exhilarating bet types such as same-game parlays, where you can buy multiple bets from one game into a single parlay. And once you win on FanDuel Sportsbook, they get your winnings in as little as 24 hours. To claim your risk-free bet, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Be sure to sign up with promo code DRIVE1 so they know that we sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code DRIVE1. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. And for problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
So Overreaction Monday presented by the Phone Exchange. We got a wall-to-wall y'all, as many phone calls as we can possibly work in, 865-546-8200. We have lines available right now. If you want to jump in, 546-8200, your number to get on board. What was I going to bring up? Had a thought. Got distracted, as I usually do. So both of these dudes, speaking of my Titans, A.J. Brown yesterday, my God. What a magnificent specimen. That dude and DK Metcalf were on the same team for the Right Reverend?
Yeah.
I mean, it does go to show you got to have players. It's not just as simple as getting the guys hyped and schemed up. I mean, he had great players down there. Not even talking about Laquan Treadwell was on that team too, and Swag Kelly. So, like, you got to have players. And I think we have some nice pieces. We don't have receivers like that, but we've got obviously a great offensive line will be coming back next year. Mostly, a lot of those guys will be coming back anyway. But my goodness, man. If he got that kind of talent to come to Ole Miss, and I know he was cheating, and we would have to be, I mean, let's be honest. We'd have to be perfectly fine with working in the gray area if we hire Hugh Freeze here, and I am. Now, that's part of the problem is I think we're working in the gray area now, and we're just not having anything to show for it.
No, we don't. Not a thing.
So Hugh Freeze is up there. Adam Rittenberg, you're just joining us. You'll love this from ESPN today, writing about the Tennessee situation. Tennessee would owe Pruitt $12.88 million if they fire him this season, according to the News Sentinel. $19.2 million to buy out the entire staff.
The mere pittance, Russ.
That's a lot.
So why would Tennessee make a change right now? It is a lot of money, Trey, no doubt.
Yeah.
Hugh Freeze, writes Rittenberg, several industry sources say Tennessee is the preferred landing spot for Freeze. Tennessee certainly could wait a year, see whether Pruitt improves the program in 2021, and then make a run at Freeze. But a poor finish, especially a loss this week against winless Vanderbilt, or a South Carolina push for Freeze could change the thought process. And that's what Greg McElroy talked about this morning on ESPNU, or ESPN Radio. He was saying, look, Georgia made this move earlier, and obviously they weren't dealing with the COVID crisis and all that stuff, but they made the calculated decision to move on from Mark Richt because South Carolina was about to hire Kirby Smart. And so they fired Mark Richt, even though Mark Richt went 9-3 in his last season. They did what they had to do to get their guy because they knew that that was going to be their guy. They knew he was out there, and he might not be out there forever. And if he took another SEC job, it's very rare that guys move from SEC school to SEC school voluntarily like that. It just does not happen much. So they got their guy, and it's paid dividends. They're one of the top 10, if not top 5, programs in college football the past 5 years. So here's Tennessee. This is a very similar situation. You've got Hugh Freeze out there who wants the job. I mean, he is campaigning behind the scenes. If you don't see this, you're blind. He wants to be here. He wants the Tennessee job. I don't know how. Yeah, he would take another job. He might take South Carolina if they offered to, but he wants the Tennessee job. So he's waiting. Will he wait a year? Maybe. I don't know. But if you're Tennessee, you don't screw around. Don't gamble. Quit mucking this up. Quit making this so difficult. Do what Georgia did in 2015. Go out there and hire your guy. Just go out there and do it. Deal with the work your way through the financial consequences. Work your way through. There's PR. Oh, why are you paying this buyout when COVID? Do what you have to. Winners find a way. Georgia's winning. Georgia's winners right now. Tennessee's losers. You want to stop being losers? Do you want to be a winner? Then go hire the guy. Do it. Get it done. Quick timeout. The drive continues. Your phone calls coming up. 865-546-8200. The drive continues. Back with more right after this.
The drive.
Fan Run Radio. The drive continues. Russell Berry, Trey, back with you. Overreaction Monday presented by the Phone Exchange. Let's go back to the busy, busy phone lines. Austin is up next on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Hello, Austin.
Hey, guys. How is everybody doing this evening?
Hey, doing well. Thank you.
Hey, so I've got two questions. I'll let you all answer the first before I ask my second. So I feel like I recall some conversations on the program about Coach Pruitt potentially being unhappy with the job right now with being the coach at Tennessee. Is that correct?
That is speculation. I don't buy into that line of thinking. I think he's wants to keep his job, wants to win. I just think he's really struggling right now.
Okay. So my second question kind of went off of that thought process. You sent some frustration coming out, particularly in the post-Auburn game pressers, some other comments throughout the season, and this may be completely silly. I mean, the buyout money may be so great that there's no way. I was just curious if there was any truth to that. Do we think there's any chance that he might would step down at the conclusion of this season if the disaster scenario plays out on an 8-game losing streak?
I don't know about you, but it's hard for me, Bear, to imagine a world in which I'm due nearly $13 million walking away from that or taking any less than that. Especially,
yeah, maybe just like a negotiated buyout, if anything. Definitely not just walking straight away.
But I mean, obviously you would do that if you're Tennessee, but what leverage do you have to get that done? I mean, just doesn't happen much. I can't think of I don't know why he would do that. Just doesn't seem like I mean, we can hope. I mean, maybe if you're Fulmer, you sit down and say, look, you know, this isn't working out. Like, what can we do? But if I'm Jeremy Pruitt in that situation, I say, go in and pay me. Buy me out. You don't want me here? Fire me. All right, Austin.
Yeah, that's probably true.
I'm sorry. I thought, okay, thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate you. I mean, I wish I had a better answer. Yeah, I mean, I wish you could – there was some – I don't know, you play hardball and say, listen, if you step down and take half your buyout, we'll go ahead and pay it to you. But, you know, like, we'll do this for you, you do this for us. I don't know. I don't know what we could offer him. And this is the thing that I thought that we were going to learn in COVID. When this first hit and everybody was foreseeing these big losses, people said, oh, well, this is going to be – the major market correction that we've been waiting on for years in college football. Because of COVID, schools are going to be a little bit tighter with these big raises and the buyouts and all that. And what does Tennessee do? They give them a raise and extension, for, you know, first, right before the season kicks off. Zach is next. Hello, Zach.
What is that, W?
Zachary!
How you guys doing today?
Hey, doing well. Thank you.
Can you hit the Amazing Grace bagpipes, please?
Amazing. I don't have those queued up right now. Can we just pretend?
Okay. I was changing it from the djembe drums to the organ piano, the church piano.
So, oh, man.
Hey, W, I heard you say a little earlier that some of it was listening to Voluntary Reaction. I listened to the whole thing. Of course, I called in at the end, but and said it was a little boring. I mean, what the hell are y'all supposed to talk about? I mean, how else can you – what are you going to do, break down the game and be like, okay, well, here's what happened in the first quarter. We were up 10-0, and then we – you know, this guy did this, and we missed a block here, and this is what happened. I mean, especially, you know, with Drunk Dave running the lines, like – we're so bad that how are you guys going to make it entertaining unless it's a train wreck?
I mean, we're going to try our best. I mean, we'll start, you know, I want to go Titans radio, all Titans all the time. And you know, that would be fun for me, but I guess the powers that be didn't like that idea, so.
Well, you know, and it's not just about the quarterback to me, guys. It's, you know, when you watch the game, like Phil said, I didn't feel out talented at all. by Auburn. I felt like we were pretty on pretty level playing ground, but Bear said it on Friday when I went back and listened to the drive. You know, for the safeties, don't let them get ahead of you. The linebackers cover a slant. I mean, we've got no linebackers, guys. Nothing. And the only pressure we have is Bennett. I mean, who's your all's favorite player on defense? I mean, they've taken the joy out of us even celebrating player success.
What a question.
Probably Bennett.
Yeah, but that's it.
If he gets after it.
I still like To'oTo. I think he's a really nice player. I just think he's having to do so much. They're asking him way too much because he's not only got to play his position at a high level, but he's got to get Crouch or Banks, whoever's out there next to him, lined up and doing all that stuff too. I think
that one play Banks had, he ran full speed right past them. I mean, the running back barely dipped his shoulders to move, and Banks just sprinted past him, completely whipped him.
That's what, you know, for me, you know, we can blame the quarterback's a big issue, right? But if your head football coach is this defensive mastermind, what hope do we have? J.J. Peterson? I mean, what? Aubrey Solomon? Like, give me, is there a Calvary coming? Am I confused on that? Do we got a defensive Calvary coming to help us next year?
Yeah, I mean, they've got some nice players committed, but will Dylan Brooks and Terrence Lewis want to come here if you go 2-8 or even 3-7? Will you be able to hold it together? And then B, does it really matter? I mean, we've seen they can't get freshmen on the field. They can't develop players. So what are we talking about here? What are we doing?
Right. One more point and I'll get out of your hair. I appreciate you giving me some time. So here's another thing, Russ. So everybody keeps saying we can't afford it. We can't afford it. We can't afford it. Well, let me play this. So let's say Fulmer goes to Pruitt and says, Pruitt's like, well, I need to get rid of 3 or 4 coaches right now that are not performing. Yeah. Winky. Let's just say he says there's 4 that I need to replace. So we got to give another contract to 3 or 4 new coaches.
Yep.
And then if you're bad and you're 4, then buy them out. What sense does that make?
Yep. And here's the thing, Zach. The perception will be that Jeremy Pruitt heads into his 4th season in a must-win thing. So if you're a good coach, whether you're established or a quote-unquote up-and-comer, what's it going to take for you to leave a presumably good job where you're succeeding to come and join this coaching staff at Tennessee, knowing that you might get blown out at the end of the year? It's going to take a major contract money guarantee on Tennessee's end that you're going to get paid for 2 or 3 years worth of work, even if you get fired at the end of the year. And even then it's going to be difficult because that's still a big gamble for any coach worth his salt to take. And this might be the bigger detriment is the word is out now. I mean, if we know in the media and fans who follow it closely know that Jeremy Pruitt has a reputation of being absolutely intolerable and miserable to work for, guys just aren't going to do that. They're not going to nobody's going to want to come coach here. This thing's over, Zach. I mean, we could keep beating around the bush and we do have to explain it and lay it all out there. But at the end of the day, the Pruitt era is over. It is a failure. It is not going to succeed. There's no, if he wins Vanderbilt, sign a Clutch. No, it's done. You bring it back next year, you're looking at a 6-6 type season. If you bring it back the year after that, you're looking at a 6-6 type season. That's if you're playing the 3 automatic win non-conference games, right? It's not going to work. No matter how much money you pour into it, no matter how much you help them out and manage things, it's not going to work. We lose Zach. All right, Zach, thanks for the phone call. 865-546-8200. Let's get Dan. Oh, we lost Dan? Okay. A couple lines available right now if you want to chime in. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show, 546-8200 as the drive as always, brought to you on Mondays by The Phone Exchange, Knoxville's easiest place to buy, sell, or trade pre-owned phones. Check them out there on top of Bearden Hill. Great locally owned and operated business. They'll pay you top dollar for your used phones and tablets. So everybody, folks getting set to upgrade this week even with Black Friday coming up. Take your old one up there. Don't just trade it in. Get gypped out of a couple of bucks. Take it up there to The Phone Exchange. Support Fan Run Radio. Support local business here in East Tennessee. And put more money in your pocket. That's what they do over at The Phone Exchange. All right, guys, who do we have next? Roberto. Roberto, you're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
The Phone Exchange take phones that are busted when you throw them against the wall after your coach makes another nonsensical error.
They might take it, but I don't know if you're going to get that top dollar commitment for it, Roberto.
All right. Oh, my God. Guys, as far as basketball is concerned, that's all. That was our only hope, but in the most Tennessee fashion ever, they've had to, you know, stop basketball, so that's funny. Russ, you're so right. You nailed it. Like, it's over! It's freaking over!
It's over!
It's freaking over. It's over.
O-V-E-R, over.
And you've got a guy about 5 hours, 27 minutes last time I drove it up the road, freaking begging you to come here behind the scenes. Begging you. You share an agent. How hard would that call be? You share an agent if you're the AD with a guy who is begging you to come here. Begging! It's so easy, and it's so easy that Tennessee will never do it because we're Tennessee.
Don't think like that, Roberto. That's a loser mentality. We've done good things before.
I'm a winner, bro.
We've done good things before. We can do it again. We can do this. We can do this, Coach Fulmer. Randy Boyd, Dondi Plowman, Faceless Booster lurking in the shadows in the smoke-filled room. We can get this done. Let's do it.
Hey, how about... It's funny, you segued me a little bit there, Russ. How about the non-faithless booster, like me? A guy who pays for my, essentially it's a PSL, right? I pay for my seat every year, the same seats that I've had in my family for multiple decades, over 50 years, okay? And I think it's $1,000 per ticket, plus the cost per ticket, so let's just break at with concessions and everything, I pay $3,200 to go to a season full of games, like this year. Okay? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
$3,200. And let's just say maybe I decide I don't, maybe I'm able to sneak in some booze, so I don't need booze. So I'm back to $3,000. Okay? I pay $3,000 to go to games. Right, Russ? It only takes $4,600 of me to say, I'm not going next year, and by the way, I'm not, me and the missus. We will not be going if Jeremy Pruitt is our coach, because that means JG will be our quarterback. So it only takes like $4,600 of me to buy out JG's See what I did there? Jeremy Pruitt's contract.
Well, do it.
That's all it takes.
Do it.
That's all it takes. So
do
you talk
it.
About the faceless booster in the back. How about the faceless booster on the other end of the line? And not just me, like all guys like me.
Call him up. Say, take my money. Hire Hugh Freeze. You can have my money. Keep this clown, and we're done. Call him up and tell him. Write him.
Are you ready for this, Russ? This is a big number. I will give them $5,000 of my own money if they promise me they will hire Hugh Freeze. I will up my donation to $5,000 if they will hire Hugh Freeze. But they're not going to, because we're freaking Tennessee. And they're freaking stupid.
I will
they're
donate
stupid.
50% of my winnings from FanDuel Sportsbook this year to buy out Jeremy Pruitt, which actually that might end up costing them money. But nevertheless, you need to do this, University of Tennessee. You want Roberto's money. You want his hard-earned dollar, his entertainment dollar. Do what's right.
Hey, for whatever it's worth, guys, thank you. I guess Zach was saying there's been people calling in and pissing and moaning at you guys about your post-game show to some effect. I must have missed that the other day. Guys, you're doing the best you can, and as somebody who is in sales and has been even in the media sales like you guys are in, can I just tip my cap to you? I think you're doing a hell of a job selling what amounts to a nothing product. Tennessee is a nothing product, and I think you guys are holding it down, and I commend you for that. So have a nice day, and happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Roberto. We appreciate the phone call. Quick timeout. More of your phone calls coming up on The Drive. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Back with more right after this.
The Drive.
Does your company have a great...
Fan Run Radio. The Drive rages on. Russell Barrett, Trey Cruz along with you on a Overreaction Monday presented by the Phone Exchange, taking your phone calls at 865-546-8200. Let's keep things rolling here, and Roman is up next. Hello, Roman.
How's it going tonight?
Hey, it's going well. Thank you.
First of all, I've loved you guys for years. Love you guys to death. But I just wanted to you guys talking about this, all this buyout stuff, and I think it's going to be a little less than we think it is. I obviously had the $19 million for everything for assistance and everything, but we got to keep in mind, Pruitt and Ansley, they'll get a job somewhere else as a defensive coordinator or something. That'll cover some of the buyout for that. You can also have, when Freeze comes in here, because get the Jimby drums in here, but when he comes in here, you can have him say, hey, we'll hire you. You just got to keep three or four assistants. That way it keeps the price down for us. I think it's a lot more doable than we actually think it is.
There are ways to do that. I mean, but the flip side of this, Trey, is this trend that we've been seeing lately where what Alabama did to us with Butch Jones, where they hired the guy for $30,000 a year. And so we're paying him to coach at Alabama. And
right, and that's that's what I think Will Muschamp might end up doing, to be honest with you.
And we end up doing that with T. Martin, where USC, we're only paying T something like
it's like $350,000.
Yeah, which is a lot of money. I'd like to be making $350,000 a year, but
not compared to Will Friend's like $800,000 to $900,000.
Yeah, I mean, if we hired T. Martin outright, we would have been paying him at least $800,000, if not upwards of $1 million a year. And but USC's been supplementing that. So I don't know, Roman.
What Alabama's doing with Charlie. I mean, a lot of people forget just who's on Alabama's staff as well. Like, you got Charlie Strong sitting down there as well as an analyst.
Really?
He's one of the top defensive minds in the country. Maybe not head coach material, but definitely defensive mind-wise.
Okay, I can definitely understand that. Freddie did come in. Are there any of these assistants that would be worth keeping?
Sure.
Besides Trey and Graham? I mean, not Trey, T and Graham?
I mean, I think they're I don't see any of those assistants, and even I know Winky is the whipping boy. Like, I think that it's a pretty good staff. I think Will Friend is stealing money from this university.
I think they got to move Niedermeyer. You got to get him off linebackers. Linebacker play has just been not good this year.
But here's my thing, guys, is if you hire Hugh Freeze, we got to quit screwing around. And, yeah, it would be great if you kept T. Martin and or Jay Graham, but we're hiring you to come in here and win. You bring in the guys that know your system, bring in your staff, man. And if you want to keep some of those guys, great. Like, that's your decision, but we're not going to saddle you with anything when you come here because we want to win now. We don't want some five-year plan, some sort of prolonged rebuild. We got decent players here. Come in here and do what you did at Liberty and turn this thing around immediately. Let's go.
Yeah, because I'm 27. I've never seen a good Tennessee football team. I didn't care until about 2001, about 2002, 2003. And so I'm just ready to win. guys, thank you, guys. You guys have a good rest of your day.
Thank you, Roman. Appreciate the phone call. I know the money thing is not an insignificant hurdle, but Philip Fulmer's a very skilled fundraiser.
Crafty dude.
Randy Boyd's very skilled fundraiser, not to mention fabulously wealthy himself. And I'm not suggesting that he should just, you know, pay for it. It's very easy to spend other people's money. I get that.
Yeah, but a lot of people are forgetting, and it was in the release this summer or whenever, I don't know, a couple months ago. It's hard to figure out what month it is now. But it was in there that Tennessee is actually, the university itself is going to be paying the losses that the athletic department is going to sustain. Like, the university is going to take that up. So, yes, you could say that the university, the athletic department is losing, what, $40 million, somewhere along those lines. But there's a reason why the University of Tennessee took out a huge PPP loan as well. There's a reason why they've taken out other loans and finances. University knows. And also, by the way, I might add this, Tennessee did have an insurance policy on certain expenditures that now they're getting taken care of. So I'm just not the one that's going to say that Tennessee is completely losing out on all this money, because they're kind of getting taken care of in other certain places.
Look, at the end of the day, you can go to your people and ask for money. When Rick Barnes was about to take the UCLA job, Philip Fulmer was prepared to let him walk. He's like, okay, we just can't compete with that. And we had a couple of very wealthy boosters led by Randy Boyd that got together and said, we got this. And they stroked the check. At the end of the day, rich people can stroke a check. And Philip Fulmer knows how to navigate, how to work in that world. Randy Boyd knows how to work in that world. You go to these people and you say, look, and it's you got to swallow your pride, man. It's a big ask. You're asking for the kind of money that we're talking about here. But it's out there, and people have it, and they'll give it to you. They might make you sing for your supper a little bit, but what's the alternative? To stick with Jeremy Pruitt football next year?
Man.
I mean, you kind of have to. You've created this situation. Do what you got to do, man. HP is next. Hello, HP.
Treating you.
Hey, man. What's up?
Well, I think I called in about a month ago. We had a conversation that Pruitt has not yet had a Butch moment in terms of a press conference with the champions of life. I think I can officially say that that time has happened with what he said today in terms of the explosive plays in the throwing game. I mean, this guy's supposed to be a football guy, is he not? I mean, is that what, that's what he came in saying?
Well, he's getting
a football guy.
Yeah, he's getting a little defensive. Well, that's what I thought you were going to talk about what he said Saturday when they asked him about, you know, the fan base growing disenchanted, and he said, look, guys, that ain't my job. If you want to talk football, we can talk football. Like,
oh, I think this is worse. I mean, explosive plays in the throw game. He's a football coach, and he can't see that. I mean, that's not accurate.
His offense makes me want to vomit explosively.
Oh, it's terrible. And, hey, Troy, I want to ask you a question. So I think I heard involuntary reaction that you said that your sources are saying we have no other QB besides JG. Who's saying that? Is that coming from Chaney directly?
Wait.
Yeah, go ahead and tell us your sources, Trey.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm not going to tell you the sources. But second of all, what did I say Saturday night? It was 2:30 in the morning. I'm sorry.
You were highly critical of the quarterback situation, and I said that too.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't want to talk about it, they don't have a quarterback.
I'll talk about it. They don't have a quarterback. And everybody that thinks that – now you got me rolling here.
Oh, boy.
Here we go. So,
God.
Everybody that thinks that Harrison Bailey is some gift from Jesus, you know.
Oh.
And I'm just being realistic here. Did you see how many ducks he threw? His first four passes were incomplete. I mean, he's not some quarterback that could come in and just save the day and be able to lead you to wins against Florida or A&M. He's not a prodigy right now. There are people over there that would say that the starting quarterback for next year is not on campus yet. And it's not here.
Well, yeah, I mean, I just want to know if that's coming from Chaney, because if that's coming from Pruitt, Man, this guy's a defensive coordinator. I mean, this guy's a defensive coordinator, so we're going to trust that Pruitt is good at analyzing a quarterback room? We got four of them over there. We know one is absolute trash. Hey, the jury's still out on the other three.
I don't want to rip on Harrison Bailey too much because we haven't seen him play that much, but is a reason why Jim Chaney, as soon as he got here and saw Bailey was committed, immediately started recruiting other quarterbacks. He tried to sign most notably the Haynes King kid who's at Texas A&M now. He wasn't sold on this kid, and he tried to get somebody else, and he couldn't. And now we've got four scholarship quarterbacks on campus right now, and the sad truth of the matter is none of them can play. When he gets up there and says JG gives us the best chance to win, he's telling the truth.
Yeah.
But that is perhaps the most glaring indictment of his program so far, is that you're 3 years in and you don't have a quarterback on your roster.
Rod, I absolutely agree with that. You know, I think they got to roll out Bailey for Vandy. I mean, why not? What else you got to lose?
Yeah.
You know, at least you'll get some fans back on your side if you do it.
But this is what Joe Rexroth said Saturday after the game on Twitter. And he said, look, yeah, I get that. You want to make a quarterback change. You got to give somebody new. You got to build for the future. But if the Vanderbilt game truly is a must win, and you're Jeremy Pruitt, and you think JG gives you the best chance to win, well, then guess what? Guess where we are.
Well, I'll throw one
Hotel
at you.
Hotel Garantano.
I'll throw one at you real quick. People have seen how Shrout played against South Carolina last year. I mean, who would you rather have? Would you rather have Garantano or would you rather have JT Shrout?
I'd rather have Harrison Bailey because I'm riding with that kid. Everybody can hate on him. Everybody can say he has a noodle arm. Well, guys, there's quarterbacks in the NFL that have made a career on dinks and dunks and not being able to throw past the 45-yard line. So just because he doesn't have a strong arm doesn't mean he can't play football. I'm gonna end with this. Rest in peace to Tennessee football. It's over. And if you think this is going to end well, you haven't been paying attention. See you guys.
That's my favorite part, Russ.
Hola, Garantano, no bueno. Tremel.
Stay with us. The shocking conclusion of The Drive coming up.
The Drive.
Hey, folks, if you're in need of a loan. All right, folks, wrapping up Overreaction Monday presented by the Phone Exchange. Appreciate everybody listening, calling in, making it work on a chilly Monday evening here in East Tennessee. It's been fun. Overtime coming up as soon as we're done here from 6 until 8 tonight. Let's grab a call from Marcus on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Hello, Marcus.
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
Hey, good to talk to you again, buddy. What's up?
Hey, man, it's been good. I wanted to first off thank you for Saturday night. I got to listen to 4 hours of pure bliss Casey that called in spouting off some nonsense to a drunk guy saying that he knew football from playing back in middle school. That was quite the 4 hours.
I'll tell you, poor old Casey's gotten a bad rap. We welcome all viewpoints.
You're singing a different tune. You couldn't wait to run the guy the other night and.
I was a little emotional.
You're out of line. A little out of line.
We'll go that far. Go ahead, Mark.
And, you know, maybe Trey would know the answer to this, because I really have no idea about the media relations with the university. But if there was no true opportunity or true chance that they could let go of Pruitt, do you not think that they, behind the scenes, would be saying to the media guys, like, hey, calm this stuff down, because this ain't happening anytime soon? Like, is that – like, would that actually be something that would happen? Would they –
they're not gonna tell us how to do our jobs. Now, look, are they gonna get pissed off at us? And sometimes we you know, an outlet might put out a story. Yeah, but they can't tell us to. I mean, I could go on right now on the internet.
Do they ever?
It says fire Pruitt immediately.
Do they ever tell you, Trey? Do they ever like, dude, what are those idiots you work with doing? And then you just. They do. And you just don't tell it because you know we'll tell them where to stick it.
Well, yeah. I'm not talking about.
Make a meet me and Ruff in Chapman Highway Walmart, Trey.
There's been. No, I'm just. He asked a question. Idiot. I'm just saying there's been times where maybe a story's put out, maybe not factually true. And, you know, you get calls. Ooh. But I'm just saying, like, in general. No, they're not going to call us and say
for some hot take that Bear had.
Right? Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Nothing from ball nugs.
Coach Fulmer knows I love him.
No.
Well, I don't know. Part of me just wonders, like, if this isn't a true possibility that he could be let go, then they'd almost want to quiet that storm a bit. But I don't know. To me, who frees or nothing, because it just makes too much sense for us to go after someone who's proven he can beat the best and actually get us to 9 or 10 wins.
Hire Hugh Freeze. Bear put it bluntly, simply, and truthfully weeks ago when we were pondering, and I believe a phone call, somebody asked, how do we get this done? How do we make this happen? How do you do it, Bear? How do we get Hugh Freeze to be our football coach? At the end of the day, what has to be done?
It's real simple, Russ. You fire Jeremy Pruitt, and you hire Hugh Freeze.
It's a two-step process at the end of the day.
How about this,
Bear? Somebody hit me with this. We love Hugh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We love Hugh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We love Hugh, yeah, 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 yeah.
That was a really good movie, by the way.
What?
You got me thinking of that movie yesterday.
Mm. All right.
Thank you, Marcus. Whatever. Good to hear from you.
Thank you, guys. See you guys.
Gentlemen, it's been real.
It's been something.
What's the new intern's name, by the way?
Yeah.
Adam Hickman. He got thrown to the wolves a little bit. Drew's showing him the ropes.
Yep. We're going to come up with a good nickname.
About the blind leading the blind. Drew Nicholson.
Drew, send me a picture and his social security number, please.
I'm not going to be taking this hate from anyone. This is unbelievable.
Stay away from Dry and Russell.
All right. Thanks to Drew and Adam. Boys, it's been real. We'll do it again tomorrow. Y'all be good.
See ya.
Another day, another dollar, another stellar edition of The Drive in the books. Overtime coming up next from 6 till 8. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on Fan Run Radio. The Drive. Phone exchange.